Let's all bow before Almighty Yahweh. Father, we thank you for all the many wonderful blessings you have poured down upon us. We pray on this day that you may be with each one here. And we ask a special prayer for those on the prayer list needing your assistance and your help, Father. Father, you are the great Yahweh Rapha and the Yahweh Yireh, the healer and our provider in all things. Help us, Father Yahweh, and help them, asking for prayer and for your assistance. May your great healing hand be upon them, Father, and cast forth the illness they have now. Father, we thank you for the brethren here and for the fellowship and for the love. We pray that you may continue to support and uphold this assembly, that it may do your will and focus on your truth always. Father, we thank you for all that you've done. We thank you for the truth, the family, the friends, the love, and your son Yahshua, and the opportunity for salvation. And we ask all this in Yahshua's beloved name. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome you all here. We're going to continue our journey today down the book of Romans. I'd also like to welcome, by the way, those who are watching via the internet and also those who are listening down the road on MP3. The book of Romans is an important book, as we discussed last time. It's an important book for multiple reasons. Number one, it's a misunderstood book, so it's important that we understand why it's misunderstood. And also, it really contains the lesson of salvation, how we're saved, how we're grafted in. Many people misunderstand this concept, so it's important that we understand this book. I'd like to begin where we left off. We went through chapter 1. Last time I spoke, and today we're going to be looking at Romans 2 and 3. I'd like to begin with verse 1. Romans chapter 2, verse 1 says, "Therefore you are an excusable man, whoever you are who judge, for in what judgment you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things. But we know that the judgment of Elohim is according to truth against those who practice such things. And to you, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of Elohim?" Where Paul opens up here with a truth that I believe is essential that we understand. Paul is saying here that if we judge another and yet are guilty of that same sin, that we will receive the wrath of Almighty Yahweh. What Paul is talking about here is hypocrisy. It's nothing more, nothing less. It's hypocrisy. As a believer, we can't judge another and then follow in that same sin. We should not do that as believers. You see, when we judge other people and yet refuse to uphold that same standard in our own life, we are condemned, I believe, and as it says here in verse 1, by our own hypocrisy and defiance to Almighty Yahweh's word. So for Paul and the Roman assembly, this was a real issue. This was a problem for this assembly. Paul wanted this assembly to understand that if we judge another, that we ourselves are clean, free from that sin. And I believe that this was the message Yahshua gave when he said to first remove the beam from your own eye, and then you could remove that beam from your brother's. But first, we had to first remove the beam from our own eye, and then we could see to remove that beam. You know, it's human nature to overlook our own faults and yet analyze the faults of others. We're real good at this. In some ways, I believe that we feel justified when we see the faults of others, or they're guilty of this. They do it. No, it's not what we should do. This is not the mindset of a believer. If we want to help others, the first thing we need to do is free ourselves of that sin, to remove that sin from our own life. I can assure you that we will not be blessed if we are looking to the faults of others and yet refuse to recognize our own shortcomings. Paul asks here a rhetorical question. He asks this assembly, and by extension, you and I, "And do you think, O man, you judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of Elohim?" Or let me finish Paul's question. Absolutely not. We will not escape Yahweh's wrath if we are hypocritical in our judgment. Those who believe that they can live in sin and judge others of the same and still be found worthy are in a rude awakening. You know, one thing that Almighty Yahweh is about, I believe, is impartiality. He's not biased when he judges. If we think that, again, we can indulge in sin and judge others and be found worthy, we're mistaken. As Paul once wrote, Yahweh is not mocked. I don't believe that Yahweh is deceived. We can try to deceive Almighty Yahweh. We can try to look to others and justify our own sins. But in the end, I believe that it's for naught. Because we find here again that we will be condemned according to His Word. Now, this may seem pretty obvious, but you know, it boggles my mind how many people I've seen in the years past that continually look at the faults of others, and they blame others, and they point out their mistakes and their shortcomings. And yet, when you dig a little bit deeper, you find that they're guilty of worse. So it's so important that we understand as Yahweh's people that we're not in a position to put blame when we ourselves are guilty of that same sin. This hypocritical judgment, I believe, is common. It's common for us. Again, with human nature, it's real easy to see the faults of others. We're real good at looking at the faults of others, seeing their shortcomings, talking about those shortcomings, those faults. And yet, when it comes to us, we seem to overlook those things we're guilty of. Now, how do we overcome this hypocrisy? Certainly, as Yahweh's people, we don't want to be guilty of this type of judgment, judging others when we ourselves are guilty of those same sins. Well, I believe that for most people, it begins with honestly evaluating who we are, as a person. For most, and myself included, I believe that when we look real deep, when we honestly evaluate who we are, we realize just how pathetic we really are as human beings, as Yahweh's people. We realize how far we fall short. We're so far from perfect. So again, to overcome, we need to honestly evaluate self. Where do I fall short? Where do I need to improve? Now, once we honestly evaluate where we fall short, what else must we do? Or for most, I would say that we must put down pride. Pride. And to humbly admit and to acknowledge those shortcomings. Over the years, I've seen many people fall from the faith. I've seen many people make excuses for their sin. And I believe that in 90% of those instances, it was pride that would not allow them to repent. Pride's a strong influence. Pride, not allowing us to see our own shortcoming, but we can sure see the shortcomings of others. Now, once we put down pride and humbly acknowledge our sin, what then must we do? Or we must be resolute, determined to change. Understand that acknowledgement without change is pointless. If you think that we can simply acknowledge or confess and not change, we're sorely mistaken. You see, the whole concept of a believer, I believe, is about change. Changing who we are now into who we should be according to Yahweh's will. Do you understand why Paul takes issue here with those who would be hypocritical in their judgment? Keep in mind how Yahshua responded to those Pharisees and scribes in Matthew 23. He called them whited sepulchres, snakes, vipers, all kinds of names. He wasn't real happy with those people. Why? Because of their hypocrisy. Yahshua could not stand hypocrisy. Could not stand someone who would say one thing and yet do another. And that's what we find here, hypocrisy. hypocrisy. And we know that if we've seen the Father, we've seen the Son. They share the same values. If Yahshua has a disdain for hypocrisy, I can assure you that Almighty Yahweh has the same disdain. Both cannot stand hypocrisy. So again, if we believe that we can point out the faults of others and yet refuse to see our own shortcomings, we are sorely mistaken. We will not be blessed of Almighty Yahweh. That's the message we find here. And I believe it's important that we understand this message because this is not only something that the Roman assembly had an issue with. We all have an issue with this problem. We all. Myself included. Romans chapter 2, verse 4. Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of Elohim leads you to repentance? Paul says that those who are hypocritical despise Yahweh's, now listen, forbearance, goodness, and long-suffering. So we find here what happens when we're hypocritical, when we're too concerned about other people and not focused on our own shortcomings. You know, Yahweh wants nothing more than to show his goodness, his forbearance, his patience to you and I, to the world. We know that it's Yahweh's will to see all of mankind saved. We find that in the New Testament. Yahweh's will is to see all mankind saved. Not only us, all of mankind. We know in Ezekiel, it says that Yahweh finds no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He does not find pleasure in the death of those who would defy him. You know, Yahweh has given us every opportunity in the world to repent, including his own son. You know, if you think about it, Yahweh's purpose is for this reason. It's to show us how to repent. To show us how to mold our lives according to his word. Again, he's given us everything we need. Everything we need to repent. Everything we need to turn to him, we find within his word. Paul says that Yahweh's goodness leads us to repentance. And I believe that Paul's talking again about Yahweh's grace. The grace that we receive. The purpose for grace is not to show forgiveness. What is the purpose of grace? The purpose of grace is to bring us to repentance through that forgiveness. That is the purpose for grace. Everything Yahweh does is for a purpose. That's something we all need to understand. Everything he does is for a purpose. There is nothing he does that is without purpose. Sometimes we do not understand that purpose. But again, I can assure you, that everything he does is for a purpose. Every law within his Torah is for a purpose. Again, we may not understand why, but someday we will. Yahweh willing. I believe that one of the best examples of what we find here is Isaiah 1. It's one of my favorite passages, Isaiah 1. In this passage, Judah is compared to Sodom and Gomorrah. They were in apostasy. They were in rebellion at this time. And as you can imagine, Yahweh wasn't real happy with Judah. But yet, when we find this passage and read what Yahweh says, we show and we find his goodness, his patience, his forbearance. This has always been inspirational for me. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. It says, come now. Now, understand that Judah is in a state of apostasy. And here Yahweh is coming to Judah through Isaiah and says, come now, let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the fruit good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Now, notice again that even though Judah was in apostasy, even though, again, she was in rebellion, even though, again, she was compared to Sodom and Gomorrah, I don't know what's worse, you know, being compared to Sodom and Gomorrah, Yet we find here that Yahweh, he's practically pleading with Judah to repent. Turn to him. Let us reason together. Why in the world would Yahweh need to reason with any man or any nation? But we find here Yahweh's goodness, his forbearance, his long-suffering. This is the same message we found in Romans. Yahweh's goodness and long-suffering. You see, Yahweh doesn't change. This is an important truth to understand. The same loving Father in heaven we find in the old is the same loving Father we find in the new. Now, before we move on, notice verse 20 again. Verse 20, Isaiah prophesied, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword." Now, no different from what we found in Romans, we find here that those who refuse to follow Almighty Yahweh, that there's a punishment. And that punishment is Yahweh's wrath. So again, the same Yahweh we find in the old is the same Yahweh we find in the new. The same loving Father we find in the old, we find in the new. The same Father who says, if you do not follow me, there will be consequences and ramifications for that sin and defiance, is the same Father we find in the new. We find no change with Almighty Yahweh. Let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 2, verse 5. It says, "But in accordance with your hardness and impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of Elohim." Verse 6, "Who will render to every one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil of the Jew first and also of the Greek." So what do we find here in this passage? Well, number one, we find that Yahweh judges without partiality. What is that? Or without bias. He says here that he will render to everyone according to his own deeds. To his deeds. So again, Paul is driving home the point that we are judged on what we do and how we live. We understand this concept here at this assembly. If we follow in his word, if we pursue his truth, if we dedicate our lives to him, it says here that we will receive the promise of glory, honor, and immortality. Well, that's my goal. What a goal to have, honor, glory, immortality with Almighty Yahweh. You know, the things of this life will seem so vain and pointless if we are found worthy of this great accomplishment that we will achieve through Yahshua the Messiah and his redemption. What an awesome honor. But what else do we find here? Or for those who are self-seeking, for those who obey unrighteousness, we find here that they will receive what? Wrath, tribulation, anguish upon every soul of man who does evil. Again, the major theme of Romans is salvation, how we're grafted in, how we're saved. We're going to talk a lot about salvation throughout this series. We find a clear distinction here between those who follow Almighty Yahweh and those who reject or deny him, and the punishment and consequence of both. Again, eternal glory and honor with our Father in heaven forever, for time out of mind. Or his wrath and indignation. Now, if we believe that this admonition here by Paul is for the world, think again. He was writing to the assembly at Rome. And these words are just as relevant for you and I today. And I want you to be honest. Can we at times be self-seeking? Can we pursue the sin of the world? Is it possible that we could fall from the faith? Absolutely. Everyone in this room has that potential. To fall away from Almighty Yahweh's faith. We can be guilty of pursuing sin. We can be guilty of pursuing this world, living for the flesh, if we're not careful now to follow Almighty Yahweh's word. And this is the admonition that we find here from the Apostle Paul. And let's never be fooled into believing that we're above this, that we're above this type of deception, that we're above this type of rebellion from our Father in heaven. Because again, I can assure you that nobody in this room is exempt. We're above this type of fall. I've seen way too many people fall from the faith in the last few years to believe that we're exempt from this. Paul himself, what did Paul say? Do you remember what Paul said? He said that he had to bring his body into bondage. Why? Why was it important for Paul to bring his body into bondage? What was the reason? Well, he said that in the end, lest I myself become a castaway, lest I myself be rejected. Paul knew that he had to keep his body into bondage. He had to restrain his flesh if he would be saved of Almighty Yahweh. And the same again is for you and I. As Yahweh's people, where is our dedication? I would hope for us here and hope for those listening that our dedication is for the one we worship today. It is for Him. It is for His word. It is for His kingdom. Again, if we are seeking the world, we will not receive Yahweh's kingdom. We will not receive His glory, His honor, the immortality that He promises within His word. Yahweh says, we'll render to every man according to his own deeds, what they do, how they live. We can live for our Father now and receive all His blessings, or we can reject Him like so many and be cursed in what we do. It says in Deuteronomy, all the way back in Deuteronomy, you know, Yahweh has established these principles in the beginning. I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. And He says, choose life. But again, it's a choice. It's a choice. Yahweh does not force us to pursue life. But He says, I've given you two options in two ways. One leads to life, the other will lead to death. You choose. But here's how you achieve life if you follow me. Same message we find here in Romans. No different. Romans chapter 2, verse 10. It says, but glory and honor and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I think that's simply preeminence, that the Jew received Yahweh's word first and also to the Greek. For there is no partiality with Elohim. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of Elohim, but the doers of the law will be justified. So again, we find that Yahweh judges without partiality, without bias. And I believe that this is important for Almighty Yahweh, that we understand this concept. Because we find it all throughout His word, that He is not biased or partial when He judges. We find laws commanding that the priests in the Old Testament be not biased, be not partial when they judge. Now, why is this important for us? Why is this important? Because we're to be holy as Yahweh is holy. That's what the word says. We're to be holy, it says, as Yahweh is holy. We're called and chosen people unto Him. And we're to be holy and follow in His examples. If Yahweh judges without partiality, we should do the same. If Yahweh is not biased, we should not be biased. Now, what else do we find here in this passage? We find here, and this is important, that justification is received not based on what we say, but on what we do. When it comes to our devotion, words really mean very little. You know, James said that by his works, he would show his faith. By his works, he would show his faith. In other words, it is by what he did and which verified his faith. He would show his faith by his actions, by his life, by how he lived. And our relationship with Almighty Yahweh is no different. We show our devotion, our dedication to the one we worship by what we do, not by what we say. And that's what we find here. The hearers of the law, they're not going to be justified. The doers of the law will be justified. John in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 said, for the love of Yahweh, for this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So again, it's not what we say, it's what we do. It's what we do. You know, I could make all kinds of promises. I could say, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. But unless I follow through with action, unless I follow through with some sort of fulfillment of those promises are empty and mean absolutely nothing. And that is what happens when we only hear the word. It means absolutely nothing to the one we worship. What this boils down to is this: our devotion to our Father in heaven must have substance. There must be substance behind what we believe. If there is no substance, if it is words only and no action, then again, that substance means nothing. If all we do is promise and commit without following through with that promise and commitment, it is only vain and empty before Almighty Yahweh's eyes. So it's so important that we follow through. It's so important that we live by doing and not by hearing the word. We must do the word and follow through with action. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. It says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, that between themselves are thoughts accusing or excusing them, in the day when Elohim will judge the secrets of men by Yahshua Messiah, according to my good news." Now, what do we find here? What do we find in this passage? I believe we find at least, at minimum, two important truths. Two important truths that are important for us here to understand. Number one, we find that there are laws that are innate, intrinsic. We're born with, to man's conscience or nature. Innate within man's nature. For example, the law of murder is found in almost every culture and civilization known to man. Throughout all of history, people know that murder is wrong. Why? How? Well, I believe that murder is built within. Yahweh put this within man's conscience, within man's nature. And we find here that the Gentiles, who had not the law, who had not Yahweh's word, understood certain laws, certain commandments. Man knows by nature that certain things are wrong: adultery, fornication, marriage, the institution of marriage. We find many of these laws and commands universal throughout civilizations and cultures. Why? I believe that Yahweh built them within man's conscience, his nature. And we know. Now, what relevance does this have? Where am I going with this belief? Well, we also find in this passage that we are judged on what we know. We are judged on what we know. And I believe from this example, even when we have not Yahweh's word. Again, in verse 14, Paul says, "For when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves." So Paul is saying here that even these people who have no knowledge of Yahweh's word, who have not the testimony of his laws and his commandments, they by their own nature, by their own conscience, bear witness and are held responsible to those laws, to that morality. Again, whether it's murder, whether it's adultery, if they understand, because what is built within man's conscience, they're held responsible for that knowledge. And if you think about it, what really is Yahweh's law? It's a witness. It's a witness of his truth and his knowledge, of his laws and commandments. All this goes back to the concept of judgment. Yahshua in John 9 said that if we were blind, we would have no sin. If we were blind, we would have no sin. The lesson here is this: on those things we know to follow, we're held accountable to that knowledge. And those things we do not understand, we are not judged on in the same way. I believe that that corresponds with what we find where it says that Yahweh winks at. We don't know Yahweh certainly would not judge us on something we do not understand. But for those things we understand, whether we have Yahweh's word or not, we're to follow through. You know, people wonder, what about Hitler and all these horrible men and past? What if they didn't believe? Is that an excuse? Well, I don't believe that it is, because within their nature, within their conscience, they know that sin to be wrong, and they're going to be held accountable for that sin. To finish Yahshua's statement in John 9, he said, but now you say we see, therefore the sin remains. So you understand, when we understand the truth, when we comprehend Yahweh's word, we're held accountable to that truth. Let's continue with Romans chapter 2, verse 25. It says, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. But if you are a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you who, even with your written code and circumcision, are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one inwardly or outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from man or men, but from Elohim. Now this passage, I believe, has huge consequences to the New Testament. What is Paul talking about here? He's defining a spiritual Jew or Israelite. He's defining Yahweh's people. Let me try to clarify some confusion and hopefully at the same time establish some groundwork. I believe that many of Paul's references to, quote, a Jew in the New Testament is synonymous with an Israelite. When he says a Jew, again, it's parallel or synonymous with an Israelite. Is referring to all 12 tribes. For example, according to Philippians 3:5, Paul verified that he was from the tribe of Benjamin. So we know he was from the tribe of Benjamin, but in Acts chapter 21, verse 39, he identified himself as a Jew. So what is it? Is he from the tribe of Judah or from the tribe of Benjamin? Again, the word term Jew was synonymous with Israelites. Why? Why was this synonymous? Why was it used somewhat as a catch-all in the New Testament? What was the reason for this? Or it's the same reason why we find the Feast of the Jews in the New Testament. They were the only ones keeping these days. They were the only ones honoring Yahweh's word at this time. So we find here that people simply refer, these are Jewish days. Same thing today. You know, if we had the tribe of Issachar and Zebulun and Reuben and all the other tribes obeying Yahweh, we wouldn't call these days the Feast of the Jews. But at this point, like today, the Jews really were the only ones obeying and following Yahweh's word. So again, when it says a Jew in this passage, I believe by extension he's referring to an Israelite. You see, a Jew or an Israelite is more than a person that is born to a specific bloodline. And this is a message we find here from the Apostle Paul. A Jew. What is a Jew? What is an Israelite? Or we find here, it is one who obeys Almighty Yahweh. Paul says if someone who is circumcised outwardly disobeys, that circumcision is uncircumcision. He's no longer a follower of Almighty Yahweh. So again, what is a Jew? What is an Israelite in Yahweh's eyes? It's a person who follows him. And this is so important for you and I. I'm not going to get into the belief of how we're grafted in, because that's an entire message. And we're going to talk about that when we look at Romans 9 and 10 and 11. But as Yahweh's people, it's so important that we understand that we're grafted into this promise. That we become part of this promise when we're immersed. We really become a Jew or an Israelite. And that's what Paul's speaking about here. He's speaking about you and I and the distinction between those who are saying, no, I'm a Jew. And Paul's saying, no, this man or this woman is a Jew, is an Israelite. Why? Because they obey and follow Almighty Yahweh's word. There's more to a Jew, there's more to an Israelite than someone who is simply born into a specific heritage or bloodline. An Israelite, a Jew, is a person who follows Almighty Yahweh's truth. And that, again, is so important to understand. We need to understand a Jew and Israelite and how Paul defines this within the New Testament. Romans chapter 3, verse 1. He says, what advantage then has the Jew? Or what is a profit of circumcision? He says, much in every way. Chiefly to them were committed the oracles of Elohim. Now at this point, I believe that this Jew is referring to the physical Jews or the physical Israelites. Paul asks here, what advantage has a Jew? So what advantage is there? Where he replies with this statement, because they were entrusted or committed. That's what the word committed means, entrusted, with the oracles of Elohim. Now, what are the oracles of Elohim? Where this word is from the Greek word logion, and it means an utterance of Elohim. So we find that the oracles here were the utterances or spoken words from Almighty Yahweh. So we find that the Jews, the Israelites, were entrusted, were committed with these oracles, with these laws, with Yahweh's word for the last 3,500 years. It's been the Jews, the Israelites, who've committed, who've held on to these laws and commandments. And now we understand why, because of them, they were entrusted, they were committed with these words. Romans chapter 3, verse 19. Says there, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before Elohim. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. We're going to talk about faith and grace here in just a moment. So we're deviating from what is a Jew, what is not a Jew, to now, how are we saved by Yahweh's word? Or how are we saved? Where it says here that it is not through Yahweh's law. We are not saved by obeying Yahweh's word. This is a concept I believe that Christianity understands. That we are not saved by obeying Yahweh's word. But many are missing a point. They're missing some truth. It is true, again, that we're not saved by the law. We're not saved by obeying the commandments. But as Paul says here, it is by the law that we know sin. He says, by the law is the knowledge of sin. So what is the purpose of the law? It defines sin. It shows us and it defines what is sin. Paul of Romans 4 says, but where there is no law, neither is there transgression or sin. In other words, if we have no law, we have no sin. Because again, law defines sin. For instance, if there was no law for speeding, we would have no crime for speeding. As something simple we can all understand. And yet, people do not understand that without the law, you have no sin. And yet every minister, or less and less today, but most ministers, understand that there is sin in this world. And they preach to abstain from sin. But yet they will abolish that Old Testament law. We need the law. Because again, it defines a sin. You see, the relationship is really quite simple with law and faith and grace. Technically, we're not saved by the law. But we know that to show love to our Father in heaven, we must obey. We heard this earlier. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. If we love Yahweh, we will obey His commandments. And obedience should not be something of necessity. It should not be obligatory. Obedience should be something of love. And I truly believe that. If we see the law as something obligatory, something we must do, or there's going to be penalties to be paid, I believe that we're missing the boat with Yahweh's law. because we should obey Yahweh. We should do His will because we love Him, not because we're afraid of what we will receive upon disobeying Him. I see a difference, a distinction between obeying out of necessity and obeying out of love. Same thing is true with children, I believe. Early on, they must learn to obey, and sometimes they need some discipline. But eventually, that child will grow up and realize that they're to obey from love. So that is where we should be as believers. We obey from love. And there is a place for Yahweh's law, but it's important that we understand that we're not saved by or through the law. Many people in the faith, they're under the impression, the belief that we're saved by what we do. And we're not saved by what we do. Or why is this? Let's look a little bit deeper. Let's continue here with verse 21. But now the righteousness of Elohim apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of Elohim, through faith in Yahshua the Messiah, to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Now listen to this, verse 23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of Elohim, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Messiah Yahshua. So number one, notice that Paul says that all have fallen short of Yahweh's glory. There is only one way that we can be saved by the law, and that is perfection. If we keep that law without defilement. But according to Paul, we've all fallen short. We've all fallen short. We're all guilty of sin. This is precisely why we're not saved by what we do. We cannot be saved by what we do. We cannot earn salvation. We know in Yahweh's word that it's called a gift. But the law requires salvation, and we are imperfect beings. An imperfect being can't be saved by something that requires perfection. As a result, we must rely on something else for salvation. What is that something else? We find it here. What is that something else? Paul says that we are freely justified by Yahweh's grace through the redemption of Yahshua the Messiah. You see, we are saved through Yahshua. We are saved through His blood and His atonement. Understand that this is not something we can earn again. Paul calls salvation a gift. My grandpa, he would hammer this, you know, years ago when I lived with him. He would say, it's a gift. We don't need to obey. Well, he was half right. It is a gift. It is a gift. But we're still to obey. We're still to follow through with Almighty Yahweh. So we see here that we're justified how? Through grace. It is through grace. So notice here that it's Yahweh's grace through Yahshua the Messiah. Notice how that works. It is Yahshua's redemption, but it is Yahweh's grace. Remember that Yahweh gave His only Son for our sins. So how are we saved? Well, we're saved through grace. But we know it's apart from the law. Romans 3:28 adds, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. So if we did not understand it the first few times, Paul clarifies that we're not saved or justified, justification made clean. We're justified before Almighty Yahweh. We're not justified by the law. We're justified apart from the law, or specifically the deeds of the law, because those deeds are our deeds, and those deeds are imperfect because we're imperfect, because we've all fallen short of Yahweh's glory. Paul says here that we're saved or justified by faith, by faith. Who else was justified by faith? Think back to the Old Testament. Who else was saved and justified through his faith? Abraham. Abraham was justified by faith. He believed Yahweh, and it was reckoned to him for righteousness. You see, our walk begins with a conviction, a belief, a trust, and the one we worship. We must trust Almighty Yahweh. Yahweh says it's impossible to please Him without faith. Hebrews 11, the faith chapter. We can't please our Father in heaven if we have no trust, if we have no faith, if we have no conviction in Him. We're saved through this conviction. We're saved through this faith. Without this belief, without this trust, works will do us absolutely no good. This I can assure you. Have an issue with those who believe that they're saved by what they do. Number one, that's putting them above Yahshua's redemption. Because we are not saved by what we do. I have no problem with the concept of being saved by grace or by faith through grace apart from the law. Because again, it's a gift. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I fall short. I know that by my own works I could never receive salvation. He would throw me out in a hurry because I don't deserve to be in that kingdom based on what I've done and based on what I do. I strive, but as I tell people at work, I don't always succeed. I strive. I try, but I'm fallible. And I certainly fall short with Yahweh's word. And we all fall short with Yahweh's word. And this is why we must rely on His grace. But Yahweh looks at faith, and do we believe in Him? You know, we sometimes throw this word to the wayside, not realizing the deep impact it has with our relationship with Almighty Yahweh. I think Christianity in some ways has tarnished this word. But faith is an important word. It's an important concept to understand. Because faith is that trust, that conviction we have in Almighty Yahweh. And as Brother Paul points out many, many times, we follow through with our conviction, and that's absolutely right. If we are convicted, we will obey Almighty Yahweh. But that obedience is not earning us salvation. Because again, it's a gift. And we achieve that through the redemption of Yahshua the Messiah and his blood. I'd like to close with Romans 3:31. It says, do we then make void the law through faith? And you know, it's almost as if Paul anticipated this question. He knew. He said, you know, I'm writing a lot about faith and grace, and they're going to say, we don't need the law. He said, well, I'm going to stop that right now. He says, but then make void the law through faith. Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. What does this mean? Paul asks, do we make void the law through faith? And what does he reply with an unconditional, absolutely not. No way do we remove that responsibility. Remember again, John in 1 John 3:5, those who love Yahweh will keep His commandments. We do this because we love Yahweh. We do not do this because we feel it's a necessity or an obligation. When we get to the point of doing it because we love our Father in heaven, I believe that we've reached some sort of maturity with Yahweh's word. But as long as we feel that we're doing it out of necessity, and unless I do this, I'm not going to reach the kingdom, I think we're missing the point. John also wrote to support the law, 1 John chapter 2, verse 4, he who says, I know him and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So we must obey, but yet we must also realize where we receive salvation. Again, we should obey not from obligation. We should not feel this obligation, but we should do it out of love. We should wake up and want to obey Yahweh, have a deep desire to obey Yahweh. You know, some people, I said this recently about the Sabbath or the feast days, and you know they'll come, but they're just miserable, especially the feast days. You know, they've taken off from work and they know they have things to do when they get back home, and they're just miserable every day of the feast. They're missing the point. They're missing the point. If we're not there to rejoice and to honor Yahweh, and to show our love to Him, we're not following through with what we find within His Word. What does this word establish mean? I'd like to look at this for just a moment. It's hestemi in the Greek. And it means to place, to make firm, to fix, to establish, to cause a person or thing to keep his or its place. To establish a thing, to cause it to stand, to uphold or sustain the authority or force of anything. So when we look back at Romans 3:31, I'm going to reread this here, inserting some of those words. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish, meaning we cause it to stand. We sustain the law. We uphold the authority of the law. So we find here certainly that the law is not abolished through faith or through grace. Paul, again, I believe he anticipated this question. He anticipated those who would say, well, we no longer need to obey because we're not saved by that Old Testament law. Well, that Old Testament law is how we show our love to the one we worship. Anyone who truly loves Almighty Yahweh, I believe, will understand this. Yahweh is calling a select few who love Him, who desire to follow Him, and do it out of a willing heart, not grudgingly, but doing it out of love and willingness. Yahweh wants a group of people who's willing to obey from a deep desire within. He doesn't want someone in the kingdom that's only obeying because they fear the repercussions. He doesn't want robots that are simply programmed to do His will. He wants a family. He wants a family who loves Him, who sees the value in His word, and who honors Him because they have a deep love to please Him in all that they do. So as believers, let's understand this book of Romans. We're going to go through it. It'll take several sermons yet. But I believe, again, that this is an important book to understand. We've seen today the truth of how we're grafted in. The fact that we don't replace the Israelites of old. We become part of the same promise. And we're grafted into that same promise. We've also found the admonition of not looking to others so quickly and focusing on our own needs and our own faults and our own shortcomings and not to be hypocritical in our judgment. And again, this is so important as Yahweh's people. Yahweh can't stand hypocrisy, so we should always abstain. And we've seen the message of salvation. Those who either follow Yahweh by obeying Him, by pursuing His righteousness, and the distinction between rebelling and rejecting His ways. One leads to glory, honor, and immortality. The other relieved anguish and tribulation. I know that we all here want His kingdom. So let's make it our goal. Let's make it our goal and to study, to understand, and to pursue His word, and to live every day for the one we worship. May Yahweh bless you.